Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You need a quarterback, but if he's ranked 25th overall, are you willing to spend the second pick on him?
That and who is the number one overall pick in one particular mock? Plus, what movies are you excited about watching with your kids?
It's the Emerging Podcast Scene presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, you're still on the air.
Go. We're still on the air, and for whatever reason, I decided to eat. Go ahead, you talk. Are you excited for that possibility?
I am. So if you're just joining us now, the thought of being able to rewatch movies and be able to do it through the lens of your kids.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah. And you know what? Like Blues Brothers is the film you were talking about. And I love the look of that movie. Mm-hmm. And I wish they had a way to shoot movies today. What year did that come out? Was that
1980.
Okay. I'm telling you, from the Rocky was 72? Is that the same year as The Godfather? Just that entire stretch up into the early 80s, I love the way movies looked. Dog Day Afternoon, I love the way they looked.
76, Rocky.
Why can't movies look like that? There's something about it. Now they've gotten too good at making movies, and so you'd have to you'd have to have a filmmaker that understands that era to intentionally make movies look like that.
You want the grainy? Part of it, is
yes.
What you're saying?
Yeah. Yes, because it seemed authentic. When they show New York City, when they show any city life, Philadelphia, it looks like you would think the cities look like now. Mm-hmm. They can shoot any movie in Cleveland, make it look like in New York, and you just couldn't do that back then.
Yeah. I like, is it good now? Okay,
there's
good.
Just too many tricks.
Yeah, there's too much going on. But I think that there's some things about old filmmaking that made it fun. I'm just saying, for the plot, the story, all the stuff, like, there's so many movies you revisit that he will watch with you, and it's, I don't want to put too much pressure on it, because I don't want to be like, turn like, you like this part? Like, I like that part? But there's so many parts that they're going to naturally like. Tommy Boy's a home run with them.
I think you can hear me.
There's been a couple other ones. Billy Madison.
That's a big one.
Billy Madison's a big one. Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
He loves Happy Gilmore. Like, it's fish in a barrel. I told you, one summer I want to do top 50 movies I got to watch with my sons before they graduate high school. I wanted to do that list.
So they are trying. They are trying to, especially Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
They're trying to bring back these comedies. He just was an executive producer of this Amy Schumer movie.
Yes.
And we watched it. It was pretty terrible. A couple times we laughed out loud. But it was pretty bad, and you have Amy Schumer doing pratfalls. But they're trying to bring this back, because people do once in a while just want to have a thoughtless comedy. And with a little texture underneath, you know, if it's good. But we've been deprived of it for so long because of either political correctness.
Oh, God.
Or the country was just moving in a different direction. But you could tell they're at least attempting to bring it back and just stream it directly on Netflix or whatever.
Maybe. I think the only place comedy.
That David Spade movie from a few years ago.
This isn't my thought. I wish it was. Somebody had said, a famous person, I forget who it was. I mean, any famous person could have said it. But
it was Maya Angelou.
Maya Angelou had said, the only place you can do true comedy anymore is in animated series, because it's not real life. But I think that some places have gone overboard. Like Big Mouth, I was out on that after a couple seasons. Like, oh, this is getting too ridiculous. Goodbye. I just was out on it. But there are other shows that are able to, but I'm like, man, comedy, as far as it is, just give me 90 minutes of slapstick. It's not there anymore.
Where there doesn't even really need to be a true plot.
Yeah.
A lot of those old movies that we love so much, the plot is secondary. It doesn't even matter.
Exactly. Like they had said, like
Tommy Boy and the plots are like there. Like
Well, there's certain things that you just can't, like, maybe you can do. How do you get away? How are you such a cuck that you're perfectly fine with Bo Derek being with Brian Dennehy as your mother, allegedly, but she's really your wife?
Yeah.
Okay, Bo Derek didn't just end up with Brian Dennehy where they looked at each other like there was sex going on, so you're fine with that. But it's a comedy, so who cares? Who really cares? And also, you know, Tommy goes from, there's no way on earth you would ever, if you were Brian Dennehy, it's obviously not a publicly shared company, you're not going to have your son run that company, ever. There's no way in 7 years of college Tommy has ever, because you have too many employees. You have, what, 400 employees is what they said in the movie? You have 400 employees, you're not going to do that. There would be a hostile takeover before Tommy got a chance to run that company. But it's a movie, so it's funny.
There was an evolution because...
You wouldn't fly from Cuyahoga Falls, from Sandusky to Cuyahoga Falls. You wouldn't do that either.
All of those movies, the Tommy Boy and the Happy Gilmore and all those movies, they ended when, I think, Judd Apatow tried to bring in real, legitimate angles and then also comedies, and he did a good job. But then it kind of killed the silly comedies. It really did. Not that there wasn't silliness in some of the Apatow, but he tried to have like a real plot in those movies.
Yeah, and you really don't need one. Smokey and the Bandit, driving to pick up beer in 24 hours, and some is. Well, who's the rich guy? We don't need to have some rich. We don't need to have some backstory. It's Big and Little Enos Burdett. I don't know what business they're in. They don't tell me in Smoking the Bandit. Yeah. I don't care because it's great. And Jerry Reed is just awesome in everything he does. Music, shows. I watched this. This is so terrible. I watched so many of these different things. I watched the episode of Mama's Family that he shows up as Leonard Oates, who is Naomi's ex-husband. Jerry Reed, I'm like, man, Jerry Reed is just, he was the best. He only died when he was 71, too. He died way too young. Smoking, lung cancer, I think it was. I love Jerry Reed. But there were so many things that just, like, I think that's what killed the sitcom, is I think people try to look too deep into a lot of this stuff. And plus, I think we did run out of ideas. We did run out of good, like, situational comedies that would happen, because there's only so much you can do. And I think we reached the end of that. But there was another conversation that they had, you know, about variety shows. And I was sitting there thinking of all the old variety shows. Like, there's so many that you didn't even think of.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Like, John Denver and the Ladies. Like, so many of them. And it's weird how you see television and movies go through this evolution. And now it's gotten to the point where, and hopefully it's just a phase. Like, they went through the phase of the Oscars where, man, you had to have a foreign film to win it. Then you just had to have a dreadfully serious film that it had to be artistic, not just serious, but an artistic film. Now I think they're trying to go back towards more blockbusters.
Yeah, they're nominating blockbusters for these.
Because I think that they're, I mean, people are watching like, I've never seen any of these movies and I'm bored. And I think that they're going back to it. And hopefully comedy will go back to that at some point. Like, yeah, I know some of it, comedy can always be offensive. I don't want it to go out of its way to be offensive, but you're going to find yourself in offensive situations. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, sure, but you know the movies that we loved growing up, at least that I loved growing up, had legitimate racism as plot points. Will that ever happen again? Will we ever be in a world where that could possibly happen? Like, I'm watching Silver Streak.
There are racists in the world. Okay.
Yeah,
and
sure.
And they would make racists out to be idiots.
Yes. Okay, in Silver Streak,
you can't do that.
Gene
anymore?
Wilder, at one point, is in blackface for like a 10-minute stretch of the movie.
See, that's different.
They just won't do that again.
Well, I don't want them to do that. To me, that's too much. And I know you weren't defending that or anything like that. I don't want that. I think, though, that we've gotten very nervous, and in so many ways, rightfully so, because guys don't want... I said the same thing about Super Bowl commercials. Like, they don't want to They don't want to make you laugh anymore. They just want, because it's so expensive, they don't want you ending up on their page calling for all these boycotts of their product. But if you're going to make people laugh, most things that are funny tend to break a wall or look at a wall that can be a little provocative. There is such a thing as clean humor, but I think even clean humor has a possibility to offend. I mean, not everybody is going to be down with... Brian Regan does not cuss. I guarantee Brian Regan's offended a lot of people. I guarantee it. But I miss so many of those movies that, yeah, you know what? There were some weird parts in it. And you kind of look back and you go, okay, we don't need to do that anymore. But those were the times. I can understand those were the times. We don't need to do that anymore. But can we still have...
Yeah, the old Mel Brooks.
Can we still have lighthearted, not huge background story comedies? I mean, Mel Brooks.
And then when I think of Airplane, like there are so many different plot points making fun of Jews, blacks, Italians, you know, religious fundamentalists.
Can we laugh at Mel Brooks comedy anymore? Excuse me. Mel Brooks made it. Mel Brooks is beloved. Can another person be a Mel Brooks? I don't know if they can.
Yeah, I mean, when Norman Lear...
I don't know if they can.
Norman Lear finally passed away, and it had everybody looking back at some of the most...
weird when you say finally.
Well,
he was 101, but yeah. When you say finally, it's...
Well,
like,
because he was one of those that people thought had died for the longest time, and he hadn't died. But he was still giving sharp interviews and everything, and you know he was really
sharp till the end.
Yes, and he was never, I should say, he's unapologetic about the things that they did, and some of the poignant. Gather around the TV. We are talking about some crisis moments.
Boy, they had some.
You know, within the family structure, and yet there would also be buttressed by a lot of humor that was considered beyond the pale.
What I liked about that show, I went back and I did a rewatch, and I went about 7 seasons. I know it goes... No, I went about 8 seasons. I know it goes about 9. I've seen every episode. All
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On the family, and I know how All in the Family ends, and it's just, it's crushingly sad to me, and I don't like to lead up to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it ends, don't you? Like Edith dies, and Carol O'Connor, who's an underrated actor, I mean, he just breaks apart in the scene. Mm-hmm. It's so sad. It's so, so sad. But it's like, there's so many of those things. I'm like, yeah, I could see that happening in 1970s America. It's not really over the top. As much as it would seem. Like, there's some... Like, okay, Sammy Davis Jr. showing up to your house in what I assume is Queens? Is it in Queens? Sammy Davis Jr. showing up to your house in New York City, probably not going to happen. All right? I'll grant you that. But there's so many things. I was like, yeah, that was 1970s America. And as much as I find it... Yeah, it would be abhorrent in 2025. I wasn't alive in 1970s America. So there's scenes that are just jaw-dropping for my senses in the 2020s. But in that time, I think it was very good at making people think, getting people to try to change their taste or try to change the way that they look at the world, but also doing it through comedy. Because, again, Carol O'Connor is just, he was brilliant. Just absolute. I loved him in The Heat of the Night as well. That's not even a walk-off. I mean that. I'd watch In the Heat of the Night when I was sick when I was a kid.
Wasn't there also a movie?
There was an In the Heat of the Night movie. Was he in that movie?
Carol O'Connor?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Sidney Poitier was in the movie.
Sidney Poitier, yes.
But not in...
Be careful, Sidney Poitier.
don't think it was in the...
Yeah, he was in there. Yeah, bring that up if you want to. Go ahead.
Okay, so right before the end of the show, I saw Dame Brugler had his top 100 board. And so this isn't where guys are going to be drafted.
True.
This is not that exercise. This is, hey, I've graded all the players in the draft. Here is where all of these guys are ranked. And he doesn't just rank the quarterbacks ahead of everybody else. Like, he's talking overall talent level. So I found it interesting because I wonder if this will have people thinking differently about the quarterback that they might want to take at number two.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen other state, you know, someone who used to work here in afternoons, he said if Shedeur Sanders is ranked in the top 10, then yes, you take him at number two. You take him at one if you think he's the best quarterback.
Yeah.
First of all, do you agree with that sentiment in any normal year? If you think a quarterback is a top 10 and you're sitting at one or two and you need a quarterback, then you take that guy at one or two.
Yeah, where's Shedeur Sanders on this ranking?
Here's the thing. Cam Ward, number 15.
Mm.
Shedeur Sanders, number 25. So he's barely getting a first-round grade. And this isn't a draft.
This is from Dane?
This is Dane. And this isn't a draft where we have been told for the last year that the blue chippers in this draft would not necessarily be blue chippers in most drafts. Meaning that if he thinks Shedeur Sanders is 25 in this draft, then he thinks he's a second round grade in most drafts. Does that change your perspective at number two overall?
I think you have to discuss.
Not just one guy. We'll see others. We'll see other. Because what do you call these draft boards? These are called the
mocks.
Well, it's not a projection.
No,
this is a.
It's a ranking. It's a prospect ranking.
Yeah, prospect ranking. That's good. Yeah.
Man, 25th overall?
But if everybody agreed here, if everybody was saying Shedeur Sanders is in the neighborhood of 20 to 25, does that change whether or not you think it makes sense for the Browns to take him at number two?
Honestly, it does. It does for me.
So then should the Browns trade down?
Well, because it kind of puts a different spin on things. If you were to read that, if you're an NFL team, Dane's close with some NFL teams. If you're an NFL team, and I would assume if Dane has him at 25, then some other teams have him in the same area. If they're ranking prospects. So if you're the Raiders, are you trading up and giving up assets to get Shedeur Sanders?
Someone would have to just be blown away and now, think that they know something about him.
Yes, and it makes me think, are the Browns stuck?
That would be very Daniel Jonesian.
Yes, it would. Does it make me think that the Browns are stuck there at number two? Because, man, at 25, do I want to take the 25th overall prospect? I think it would be much easier to trade down to 8, 6, even 6, because you get another first-round pick out of it, and you're like, okay, now I can take the 25th. It's a stretch, but I can take that guy. I don't know. It is the most important position. You could just be throwing the pick away because he's that low.
Can you use number 2 and use 33 to get back up to 20?
That's a good possibility. Then that makes more sense.
Give him 33 and next year's 2.
But if you hear 25...
Next year's 1.
When you hear 25, is like, man, is he even worth the investment?
Well, that's what we would say, certainly. But we've seen plenty of QBs get underdrafted that end up being fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Lamar Jackson is somebody that comes to mind.
That's just so low. That's so low.
Now, again, I would like to see Dane's list from the year Mahomes came out, you know, and
I'm sure
Lamar
he could
Jackson
find it for you.
And Josh Allen and some of these guys, Carson Wentz, obviously, we know things changed.
You can text him and ask for the 2018 prospect ranking.
Yeah, I would love to look
at
that.
I'll text him right now. Talk amongst
yourself.
Hey,
look, there's going to be misses. Somebody immediately after I posted that, someone goes, love Dane. This is Maddie. Love Dane, but he had Mitch Trubisky over Mahomes and Watson. Quarterback scouting's an inexact science. Certainly. I mean, I think we all understand that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we also... Never, we bash the draft guys that put their name on this stuff mm-hmm. because it's archived and it's there forever. But what we never figure in any of these sports is that guys get better. So we assume everyone's going to get better, and that's always, always a flimsy thing. And then guys get better. Like Josh Allen was terrible. I thought Josh Allen was going to be bounced from the league when I saw him play here in Cleveland. In year 2, he was terrible.
I'm going to write 2017 and 18 because so Patrick Mahomes was a 2017 draft.
This is from UPI. Now Dane has been at different companies over his career, right?
Okay.
Doing this.
He used to work for Oopy?
Oopy. He said, hang on, Oopy.
That was a really that was a good one.
Thank you. You can't hear me. I'm not on mic.
In spirit.
You can hear me.
Yeah.
You can kind of
hear me. In the background. You're like Glenn on the Tom Green show.
Just in comparison, in 2017, he had Mitchell Trubisky at number 11.
Okay.
And he got taken at 2?
2.
Now he had at 13, DeShone Kizer.
Okay.
Okay.
Where did he have Mahomes at?
That's where I'm looking for now.
It had to be lower.
Well, yeah, I mean, those were the top two that he had.
Oh, boy, I see your finger. You're still scrolling.
Still going. Maybe I missed him.
You had to have missed him. There's no way he's that low.
He had a guy named Forrest Gump higher than
that. Than Patrick Mahomes. That would...
Number 33 was DeShone Watson, which in the draft...
Yeah, I remember it was his arm strength and how fast he could throw the ball. Yeah, that was an argument. Processing might have been an issue too. Well, we could find out. We could talk about that.
But you see what I mean? Do you bash?
There it is. I found him.
Where's he at?
Number 50.
Okay.
Mahomes.
Yeah.
Jeez. So do you bash a?
Okay, that makes me feel better about Shador Sanders.
But then the funny thing is, what is
48 and Myles Garrett at 1?
Okay.
So what does everybody say about, you know, Patrick Mahomes? He went to the perfect place. He got to sit a year. But so do we bash the projection? Like,
he wouldn't. I don't think
we don't do every projection on what if this quarterback gets to sit a year and play for a Hall of Fame coach.
That team traded up for him too. Like he didn't. How do I say it? He didn't. Boy, if he went to the right place, I think we all agree there. I don't think he'd be a three-time Super Bowl champion. I still think he'd be really good. I still think he'd be... He might have a Super Bowl already. I don't know if he had three. But he would have... I think he would have a Super Bowl. I used to say that. I used to wonder if the Browns would have ruined Patrick Mahomes at the beginning of his career. I think it's just undeniable now, Tone. Well, I think it's been undeniable for the last few years.
Knock off the arm slot stuff. That's not how we throw a football.
At that time, maybe some, yeah. It was 2017. That doesn't feel like it was too far ago, but it was. We thought really different of quarterbacks 8 years ago.
How many kids did you have 8 years ago?
None. No, I had one.
How many prospects did you have at marriage 8 years ago?
None. Definitely
like,
none.
Like, I had only had like two wives 8 years ago.
Well, we got something to dig deeper into.
Yeah, they're going to be more open-minded, I do think. But just that's interesting framework. We'll look for more of these because I kind of like these more than the mocks because I want to know where the grades are. I want to know where the actual grades are on these players.
You stack them up to other prospects. I mean, you put them 25th. It's like, do I want to use the number 2 overall pick? It's like, well, you need a quarterback because you wouldn't do that for like any other position.
No.
You would not take the unless your board was so different and you're like, there's something you guys aren't seeing that I am. I'm taking this guy like a Mike Junkin, which is a terrible example. But that's something you would do.
And a reminder, he has Travis Hunter as the number 1 overall prospect on his big board.
What do you do with him, though?
Right, so...
Is he the number 1 corner on his board? Is he the number 1 wide receiver? Because Tet McMillan would be the best wide receiver. Probably Will Johnson would be the best cornerback. So is he... If you don't have him as the number 1, where do you take him? And what do you do with him? Like, we haven't even discussed that on the air. Like, if you wanted us to just take the best overall athlete, okay, well, Travis Hunter would be there at number 2. What are we going to do with Travis Hunter?
We
just took calls today about people who are afraid that we don't develop anybody.
How sexy is that pick?
Nurture that.
Are we jumping up and down with a Travis Hunter pick?
I'm nervous if they take Travis Hunter. I'm afraid they're
going to... Why is it that I'm nervous too?
I'm afraid they put him in a bad spot. I'm afraid they would use him incorrectly and it would just turn into a wasted pick.
In any other year, if you told me, hey, the Browns are getting the Heisman Trophy, guy who broke through the glass ceiling, two-way player... Did his highlight reels insane, and I feel like in most cases I'd be jumping up and down, and right now, because we don't have that quarterback, I'm like,
What a way to end it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.